Good evening to all of you. It's wonderful to see you tonight. I've been over next door, across in the multipurpose hall 3 times a year. We meet with our all of our Christian education leaders, small group leaders, ministry team leaders, youth leaders, children's Sunday school teachers, senior adult leaders. We just meet with all of them and 3 times a year, and we do what we call vision, skills, and huddle. So I always do the vision part in the first 20 minutes or so, so that's where I've been. And Pastor Hubert is going back there while I come here. And it is great to see all of you tonight. We're on day 29 of our 40 days of prayer, and we're going to be taking time for corporate prayer again tonight, as we have been in each one of these Sunday nights. Next Sunday night, we'll be having another healing miracle service, and encourage you to take a day this week, if you can, to fast and to pray, or more if you can, and see what the Lord would do, or a meal, or whatever you can. People are running into numbers of people that are fasting various things throughout the whole 40 days. Some are fasting TV, some are fasting certain kinds of food, some are whatever God has put on their hearts to do. And anything that helps us set aside ourselves as we seek the Lord. I just got to tell you a fun conversation I had just before the leaders' meeting started next door. Dr. Edgar Lee, who leads one of our great Christian education classes, he just got back from Singapore yesterday. He flew back yesterday. And so you have massive jet lag. I've been to Singapore twice. You have massive jet lag when you come back. I was surprised he was here, but he's a faithful leader, came to the leaders' meeting. It was also his birthday yesterday. I didn't ask him how old he is. I'll leave that up to you. But when you come from Asia back here flying, you cross the international dateline. And so when you're coming back home, headed east, the day just keeps going and going. Sandy and I came once from Singapore home on Easter Sunday, and we ended up having 2 Easter Sundays. We went to church Easter Sunday morning, got on the plane in Hong Kong that afternoon, landed in Honolulu, and it was 8 o'clock in the morning, Easter Sunday. You know, because you cross that date line, the day just keeps going on. So Edgar was saying yesterday was his birthday. He had the longest birthday in his life. His birthday lasted 37 hours. It was November 11th for 37 straight hours. I thought, what a way to have a birthday. That's pretty cool. I'd like to talk about 5 keys to growing your life. Not that that had anything to do with anything. I'd like to talk about 5 keys to growing our prayer lives. And you're going to need your Bible. I'm going to have you turn to 6 scriptures in all. First of all, an overall scripture before we look at the 5 things that I believe really help us grow in our prayer lives. And so will you stand with me as we go to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. Here Paul has just laid out the armor of God. He said, take on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. Take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and the shield of faith to quench every fiery dart of the devil. He just goes through all of that, and then he sort of wraps them all together and talks about the one covering thing that that I think fully integrates the operation of the spiritual armor, which is the way we do spiritual warfare, and it's in verse 18. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert, and always keep on praying for all the saints. I'm going to read that one more time, just let those words sink in for a moment. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert, and always keep on praying for all the saints. So Lord, would you come and help us to do always prayer for all things. We pray that you will give us grace. We pray that you will grow in our prayer life tonight. And then as we take time to pray again for our church tonight, we pray that you will guide us and build us up, equip us tonight. We thank you for these days of prayer. We thank you for your Spirit. We thank you for that which we sense breaking through, and especially that second service this morning. And Lord, we just believe you, Lord. You are so wanting just a breakthrough on us, and we pray that you will come by the power of the Spirit. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. He uses the word all 3 times and the word always once in verse 18 of Ephesians 6. And pray in the Spirit. Don't pray in your own steam. That's why we need the Spirit of God. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions. That's the first all. The first all is on all occasions. Every occasion is an occasion for prayer. I sometimes tell people before you try to learn how to pray a day, an hour a day, because that frustrates so many people to do that, unfortunately. But before you try to pray an hour a day, start praying 24 hours a day. Just walk in the place of prayer and find that there are so many things that can provide those all occasions for prayer. Anything that triggers prayer. I love to just walk down the hallway, walk down the street, just pray in the Spirit under my breath. I love, you know what, I'm learning when I'm tempted to curse out the driver ahead of me. I don't curse them out. Sometimes I talk out loud to them in unappreciative ways. But I'm kind of learning that, first of all, why do you talk out loud to drivers who can't hear you? And secondly, what a great, there's an all occasion. Someone's frustrating me. That is the moment for prayer. Lord, would you bless that person who's going way too slowly and driving like a jerk and endangering me? Lord, would you, that's an all occasion. You don't want to miss the all at that occasion. There's an opportunity to pray. Praying, you're sitting at a street light and you look at the person left of you in their car. Lord, thank you for them. And whatever's going on in their life, just bless them today. And you're not doing anything, but you're going, Jesus, I love you, and I need you. And Lord, thank you. And Lord, be talking to me today. Just always listening as you go through the day. Praying in tongues, praying with your understanding. In all occasions, we ought to pray. And with all kinds of prayers and requests. So sometimes it's making specific requests known to God. Sometimes it's what we call travail. You don't necessarily do this in your car, but when you have more extended time, it's travailing and you're alone and the Spirit of God prays with you through groans which cannot be uttered. Sometimes it's spiritual warfare kind of prayer where you pull out the promises of God and you quote them out loud and then you say, in Jesus' name, I stand against the enemy. Devil, get your hands off that person and I resist the enemy's power. We claim the authority of Jesus here. Prayer is, I love the book that Jack Hayford wrote on prayer years ago. He said, prayer is invading the impossible. It's an invasion act where the enemy has control. Prayer invades with the authority of Jesus and requires the enemy to let go of that area of control. Sometimes this is very much spiritual warfare kind of prayer. And so there's all kinds of praying. So pray on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. And don't forget all God's people. We need to be covering one another in prayer. Now, I joke around sometimes and I say I pray for myself just in case nobody else is. And it's good to pray for yourself. But you know what? I'm grateful for the many of you who say, Pastor, we pray for you every day. And you know, we met a young guy. He's going to Bible college at CBC, kind of become a friend of our families. And his mom's been divorced and remarried several times. He's got no Christians in his family whatsoever. Finally, my wife and I just looked at each other a few weeks ago and we said, I wonder who is praying for that guy. He might have nobody in his life who's praying for him. And so we said, we got to pray for him. And we're supposed to be covering one another in prayer. It protects us from the onslaught of the enemy, and it helps release God's full purpose. Because when you pray into a person's life, you're praying into the purposes of God being accomplished in that life. And you're praying holy protection around them in the spiritual battle that they're facing. And so he says, let's pray. Let's keep on praying for all the saints. So, on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers, and be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. How can we begin to do that in, what's the right word? Not that we're on a performance sort of gig here with God when it comes to prayer. Prayer, sometimes the most heartfelt and powerful prayer is very messy. It's groaning our great need for God to him. Sometimes it defies articulation. And yet, on the other hand, we can grow in our personal prayer lives in very strategic ways. We can become more effective in prayer. I believe as we concentrate on growing in prayer, we can see with months and years God answering more prayer, not less, in our lives as we learn to pray with power and effectiveness. So, I'm going to run through these fairly quickly. And the first text I want you to go to is we look at five keys for growing your prayer life. I'd like you to go back just a few pages to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. And everybody said, amen. That's how he ends the passage. And he says, you know what? This God can do more than you could ask or think according to the power that works in you. Because it's not your power, it's the Holy Spirit's power. It's the same power, he says in chapter 1, that raised Jesus from the dead. That same Spirit that literally raised Jesus from a cold, damp, old, dead tomb. That same resurrection class Spirit is the power that works in you. And he can do more than you think or imagine according to the power that works in you. So here's what's helped me a lot as I've tried to grow my prayer life, first of all. Let prayer be God-centered rather than problem-centered. Start prayer with God, not problems. Allow yourself not to get bogged down in the problems. When I did not know how to do this years ago, I found myself actually avoiding and procrastinating on prayer times because I didn't look forward as a young pastor to the experience of getting depressed again. Because for me, prayer times were rehearsing all the things that weren't working well, all the problems in everybody's life. And I'd start with the problem, and I'd just go problem to problem to problem. And after a half hour of prayer, I was more overwhelmed with problems than I was overwhelmed with God, to be honest. And prayer became nothing more than an exercise in anxiety rather than an exercise of faith. And we got to be very, very careful. We can waste a lot of time in prayer, especially requesting kind of prayer, when we don't have any faith and all we're doing it is for emotional therapy for our worry life. It's not an exercise in anxiety. Prayer is an exercise in faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. And that's why I find I have to be careful and I have to encounter God somewhere. And I find it's helpful to start with God. Say, Lord, you're bigger. You out-dimension the problems, the dimension of the problems I'm going to pray for in these next few minutes. Lord, you are able. There's nothing impossible to you. You are able by the power that works within me, your Spirit cooperating with me in my prayer life right now. We can do more than we could even imagine by the potent potential that's within me. It's within us as we pray. And so, Lord, we're going to start with you. My eyes are going to be upon you. My heart and my faith is going to be upon you. Sometimes I'll just start prayer. I love to have certain memory verses, for lack of a better term, memory verses in my spiritual back pocket that I pull out. And I'll say, Lord, this is what you promised. And this is who you are. And I'll quote those out loud and say, Lord, I'm standing the ground of faith. I'm standing in the sufficiency of who you are and what you can do. And I'm not wallowing in the overwhelming quicksand of how big the problems are. I'll name the problems, but I'll keep my eyes on you, Lord. And I found that's been really, really helpful. For the second key, I want you to go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. You're going to go left again, back a little farther. And Romans chapter 8. And verse 26 and 27. And in the same way, the Spirit helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that we cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance to the will of God. Verse 27 actually will launch us into the third key, but the second key is this. Focus on the Spirit's help rather than your skill in prayer. We're saying we need to keep prayer God-centered rather than problem-centered. But then when we come to the place of prayer, he says we don't know how to pray as we ought, but that's where the Holy Spirit comes along and helps. Same word as when Martha said, Jesus, will you tell Mary to come in and help me in the kitchen? That word is not used a lot in the Old Testament, but it means to really get your hands dirty in a practical way to assist somebody. He said that's how the Holy Spirit comes for us in prayer. We don't know how to pray as we ought. How many of you have gone to prayer and, you know, I don't even know the right thing to pray here because I don't know the solution. So I can't ask for a specific kind of solution. I don't even know. This is perplexing. And he says the Holy Spirit can come and he can help us. He can take up alongside us in a practical way, which is that word help means. And the Spirit of God prays with us. It's not just us praying alone. It's supposed to be the Spirit of God praying through us. You're yielding to it. You are praying, but you are not praying alone. You're praying with the Holy Spirit who is praying through you. He says sometimes the Holy Spirit wants to birth new breakthroughs, and so he literally, like a woman groaning in childbirth and travail, he will literally groan through you. So sometimes your prayers defy articulation with specific words, but the fact is the Holy Spirit is helping you. Sometimes that groaning can be the form of speaking in another language, praying in the Spirit, praying in other tongues. This is God's Spirit praying with you. And I sometimes when I come to prayer, first of all, if I'm not overwhelmed with the problems, I'm overwhelmed with me. And I start looking in and say, you know, the alarm goes off very early in the morning and you hit the snooze and get 10 more minutes, but you know, you got to get up and pray. And I want to tell you, I don't feel very spiritual at 5 o'clock in the morning. But you know what? And sometimes I let that throw me off. Well, Bradford, if you were spiritual, you'd be getting up at 4 in the morning and you're raring to pray. Well, that's just not it for me. I have a great friend. He teaches all over the world with Youth for the Mission. And he was once at a conference with the famous Bible teacher, Joy Dawson. And Joy met this guy in the elevator early in the morning at this conference they were speaking at. And it was maybe 8 in the morning. And she said in her wonderful English accent, "Oh, brother, what has the Lord spoken to you this morning?" And my other friend just looked at Joy and he said, "God doesn't even try to talk to me before 10 a.m. So some of us are like that, but there's hope for all of us. Because sometimes we just cave in on ourselves, you know, and we often use as a litmus test, how do I feel? Do I feel spiritual? Do I feel like praying? You know, some of my greatest prayer time started when I didn't feel like praying at all. But I had to start priming the pump and just getting it going. And the longer you spend in the presence of God, the more of his heart you start to capture. And sometimes the prayer meetings where you just didn't feel like praying at all, and you're tempted to write yourself off and say, how could God even listen to somebody who doesn't feel like praying? How unspiritual and unacceptable I must be to God. You know, God doesn't quite look at it that way. He just understands that you need his help. And that's why I don't worry anymore if I don't feel like praying. In fact, the times that it seems hardest to pray are the times I seem most connected with my need for his help. And he said the Holy Spirit comes along, and he comes alongside, like Mary, to go and help Martha in the kitchen. He'll get in my spiritual kitchen and say, okay, Bradford, you're not doing very well, and this is beyond you, so let me help you, the Holy Spirit says. I know you're not up to this yourself, but don't trip over yourself, don't cave in yourself, don't write yourself off as unspiritual just because you need me. Not needing me is not exactly spiritual. Being able to do this on your own because you're so revved up is not exactly spiritual. Depending on me is spiritual. And so rather than just sitting there and navel-gazing and looking at whether I have the strength to pray today or I even want to, instead you look up. Not only past the problems, but you look up past yourself. And you don't go in here to start praying. You go up here to start praying. And say, Lord Jesus, and you get on your knees and say, Lord Jesus, will you give me your heart today? And I invite your Holy Spirit to begin to pray through me. And sometimes when I don't, I'll just pace, because I'm a pacer. Maybe you're a kneeler. Early in the morning, I fall asleep if I kneel too long, quietly in one position. So I pace, but I begin to pray in the tongues. And I used to strive. I used to just get down on myself and feel guilty. I didn't, you know, feel more spiritual that early in the morning. But instead, I just relax and yield to the Holy Spirit and say, God, this isn't about my skill. This is about your ability to help me. The principle here is to rely on the Spirit's help rather than your skill in praying. In fact, before we go and pray and we're going to pray in prayer stations again like we did 3 weeks ago, and we're just going to pray together. Say, Lord, will you come and help us? That may be the last thing I feel like doing tonight. But you know what? Mighty things are going to happen in answer to your prayer tonight. But we need the Spirit's help. It's okay to not feel like you can do this by yourself. But we need the Spirit's help. Thirdly, because he said when the Spirit prays through us, he prays according to the will of God. We need to carefully listen carefully to the Spirit's voice to line us up with God's will. Part of certain kinds of praying really involves listening. And did you notice there in verse 27, and he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. Because he knows exactly what God's will is. Now, the operating principle is actually found in 1 John 5. Will you go there, 1 John? It's right near the end of the New Testament. 1 John chapter 5 in verses 14 and 15. And here John says, this is a confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. You see, we don't pray our will, we pray God's will. He wills it, we pray it, he does it. This is all about understanding what God wants to do and how he wants to move. And then asking the Holy Spirit to, first of all, help us discern that, and then give us grace to pray in that direction. Some of us, you know, we try to pray upstream. You know, the current of God's flow is this way, but we're insistent it's got to be this way. And prayer, and some of us also believe that prayer is a fight with God. You know, it is a fight in the spiritual realm sometimes with the enemy, but it's not a fight with God. Sometimes we feel like prayer is this, you know, if just I beg long enough, I can finally twist his arm to get him to do something. But prayer is not twisting the arm of a reluctant God. It's embracing the heart of a willing God. And so John says, we have this confidence that whatever we ask according to his will, we know he hears us. And if we know he hears us, then we know we have what we asked of him. It's an amazing, powerful verse. And it means that we ask, therefore, we always ask the Holy Spirit. First of all, we put our eyes on him, not the problem. That was principle one. Step two was that we don't depend on our ability, but we yield to God's Spirit to give us the ability to pray. And then we say, Lord, would you guide me in terms of what your will is? Much of prayer is trying to find the flow of his will, and then allowing the flow, the current of the flow of his will to carry us along in prayer. And sometimes you don't even pray what's on your prayer list that day, because the flow of his will, maybe some specific thing. I'm often aware that when someone comes to me and asks for prayer, and I begin to pray, I always try to listen to the Holy Spirit. And I understand that often what they ask for prayer, or even what they think they need, is not exactly what the Spirit of God actually wants to address in their lives. And so sometimes I'll gently do it, but I'll pray for things other than what they ask for. And I'll usually respect them and pray for what they ask for too. But you know what? Often the flow of God's Spirit is not even what people tell you they need prayer for. Who knows what the mind of the Spirit understands the will of the Father to be. But the will of the Father, praying in alignment with the will of the Father, is what gives us the confidence that our prayers are heard in heaven. That's why, by the way, we pray in the name of Jesus in part. Because we're praying his agenda, his kingdom, his rule, not our own. We're praying in line with his will. And so sometimes prayer can be very noisy and aggressive, and that's good. But sometimes, and especially in corporate prayer, it's wonderful when we sort of, as one pastor say, pray like the Koreans, you know, where we just, or like a lot of the world, just together, lift our voices to him like we will around the prayer station. There's just no one person's leading everybody else, but together we're just allowing prayer to release. But often when you're praying alone, or you're praying for one-on-one with an individual, we need to really listen. As I talked less and started to listen more to the Holy Spirit, I found it really began to help my prayer life. And listen to the voice of the Spirit. And sometimes you don't connect with anything. Sometimes there's a real sense, and I don't want to get too mystical on you, but sometimes there's a real sense that this is the flow of God's will. And my prayer life today needs to align with that flow. And again, you're really depending on the Holy Spirit. It's not just like, oh, I got to name all these requests and twist God's arm, but it's trying to find the flow of his will. Sometimes there'll be a picture that'll come to my mind, and because sometimes that's how God speaks to me, and so I'll maybe that's how he reveals his will, how to pray. And if nothing happens, I just pray what seems obvious. Pray in tongues, pray in English, what seems obvious, and just pray for situations. But allow this not to be a chore. Lean on the Holy Spirit, and then ask the Holy Spirit always to help you get into the flow of the mind of his will by letting the voice of the Holy Spirit speak to you. And sometimes that takes the chore and duty out of it. It becomes a delight. You really begin as you wait on God. And this is where it takes a little time. I find if I just try to, you know, try for 3 minutes and then, oh, I give up and I leave and turn the TV on or something, you know, I haven't had time to connect with the mind and heart of God. But if I will give it 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes, soon there comes an alignment between my wayward mind and my wayward heart and His spirit and His mind. And when that alignment comes, it's powerful. That's when sometimes you don't want to leave the place of prayer because you sense the heart of God and you sense you're connecting with His heart. And when you're connecting with His heart and will and praying His will, powerful things can happen then. Amen. Now everybody just needs to smile at me. One or two of you are kind of nodding your head, but just smile at me just once. This isn't all bad, is it? No. Amen. Hallelujah. Number four, as you come to prayer, depend on Christ's shed blood and overcoming authority rather than your own merits. As you come to prayer, depend on Christ's shed blood and overcoming authority rather than your own merits or worthiness. I'd like you to go to Hebrews. We're nearly done. Hebrews, please. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19. I love this verse. It's a great invitation verse to prayer. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence, this is Hebrews 10, 19. Since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is His body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. There's often no time that the enemy hits me more with guilt than when I come to the place of prayer. Because if the enemy can't put the spotlight on our problems, remember we said, let prayer be God-centered, not problem-centered? If he can't put the spotlight on my inadequacies, remember we said, number two, focus on the Spirit's help rather than our skill? And if he can't put the spotlight on every distraction rather than just listening and taking time to really capture the mind and voice and heart of the Holy Spirit as we pray, then he'll put the spotlight on me. In fact, sometimes he starts there. And I have literally prayed for people and seen miracles happening right in front of me. In the back of my mind, I hear this voice from the devil saying, this should not be happening because you're not that great a Christian. If you're that great a Christian, you wouldn't have prayed an hour a day last week. You would have prayed 2 hours a day. You know? And you might have prayed 5 hours a day last week. And the devil will come and say, you know what? If you're a really great Christian, you would have prayed 6 hours a day. So God can't use you. He'll keep pushing you. He'll keep driving you. He'll keep putting the spotlight on your performance rather than Jesus' blood and Jesus' authority. You know why he hears us? It's because the door has been opened up into his presence, not by how great a track record I had last week as a Christian, but it is opened up through the shed blood of Jesus and the conquering authority of Christ over the devil. That's why we pray with power. And you know, and the enemy, he'll lie to you. He'll tell you all the reasons why God can't be using you in that moment. I've literally seen a miracle happen in a person I'm praying for with the devil screaming in my head, this should not be happening because you're not worthy for God to use you. And sometimes there's nothing even immoral he points out to. It's just that, you know, you could be better. Oh, really? I mean, probably that applies to every person in this room. We could be better. But it becomes immaterial when we come to the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That's why I don't pray in my name. I pray in Jesus' name. Because it's in his name, by his blood and his authority, that I have access into the presence of God. Folks, we've got to shut down the lies by the blood and power and truth of Jesus Christ. God can use you in prayer. I know you're not perfect. But if you've confessed all known sin in your life and your faith is in the cross and you're praying in Jesus' name and not your name, not your pastor's name, not your favorite TV evangelist's name, you're praying in Jesus' name and you're washed by the blood of Jesus, you have the authority of heaven and earth at your disposal. And there's no reason under heaven why God shouldn't do incredible things through you. The last one, pray frequently and consistently. You want to grow your prayer life? Let's review it one more time. Keep prayer God-centered rather than problem-centered. Focus on the Spirit's help rather than your skill. Listen carefully to the Spirit's voice to line up with His will as you pray. Depend on Christ's shed blood and overcoming authority rather than your own deserving or merits or worthiness. And lastly, because I've noticed that the more I do it, the more I want to do it. That's true with a lot of things in life. You ever found that the more you pray, the more you want to pray? And the less you pray, the less you want to pray. In fact, the less you do it, the more inertia you have to overcome to get started again. And I found, you know what? We just need to pray regularly and consistently. And I tell you, the more you learn to capture God's heart, the more you want to live in that place. And the more you're just distracted and you're just always busy and you always default to busyness rather than prayerfulness, you know, it just does get increasingly hard to build a life of prayer. And you want, you know, this is not exactly rocket science or brain surgery, but my fifth key is this. Just keep doing it regularly. And so in Luke 11, verses 9 and 10, Jesus says, "Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened to you." For he says, whoever asks does receive. And whoever seeks finds. And whoever knocks, the door is open to him. And you probably heard it preached on a million times. It's not hard in the Greek. It's a sort of a present continuous form. You could easily translate that. Keep on asking and you will receive. Keep on seeking and you're going to find. Keep on knocking. And he's just told a story of a neighbor in the middle of the night who keeps knocking at his neighbor's door saying, "I need bread for these people who just landed in my house." And the point was, he says, will the neighbor get up because he loves his next door neighbor and give him bread? No. It's because the guy won't stop knocking. and he wants this guy to get off his case. Now, that's not an accurate description of the character of God, but it's a description of our part. Let's just keep on knocking. Pastor, I prayed for some things 1,000 times. I don't know why God hasn't answered. If you're convinced it's the will of God, let's go for 1,001 this week. Let's go for 1,002. Let's go for 1,003. All I know is Jesus said, keep on asking, and you will receive. Sometimes people say, well, I don't know if I ever want to pray for somebody because what if nothing happens? You know, you just do what Jesus told you to do and leave the results into God's hands. The results aren't the pressure on you. You just get the pressure off yourself and just simply do what Jesus told you to do. Well, what if nothing ever happens? Well, that's God's problem and not yours. Finally dawned on me just a few years ago that when I stand before the judgment seat of Christ, probably Jesus is not going to judge me and rebuke me because I had too much faith, I believed him for far too much, and I asked way too much. Unless he clearly told me to ask no more because of a specific issue perhaps. He's not going to judge me because I believed him for too much, and I was too insistent that his will be done in the earth in faith. No. Probably for most of us, we're asking too little. Amen? We're believing for too little. He wants us to come and be a part of what he is doing in the world. So, Lord, here are our hearts. And we want to just consistently keep on asking and keep on seeking and keep on knocking. And, Lord, we pray as we prepare our hearts to go to prayer tonight. We pray in the name of Jesus that you will come. And, Lord, we don't look at the problems. We just look at you. You are able to do above all we ask or think according to your power at work in us. And, Lord, we don't look at ourselves. Well, some of us maybe don't even feel like praying tonight. That's okay. But, Lord, you're going to touch us as we just set ourselves to wait on you. We pray your Spirit will help us. Where we're weak and don't know how to pray as we ought, we pray that your Spirit will come. And your Spirit will teach us how to pray tonight. And your Spirit will lead us into the presence of God. And your Spirit will give us grace tonight. We lean on you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We just praise him for answering that prayer right now, just even in faith. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of your Spirit. You're going to help me pray tonight. You're going to give me your heart tonight as I pray. Lord, because I'm not leaning on me. It doesn't matter what I bring to this, Lord. We thank you that you're going to help us to pray by your Spirit. Pray through us, we pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for answering that tonight. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I would like the ushers to come forward, please, while we're still seated. And the ushers have prayer guides. I'd like you all to take one. And these are the prayer guides we had. You may still have one in your Bible, and you can use that from 3 Sunday nights ago. We have 8 prayer groups that are meeting. They each have a leader. Those leaders are in the leaders' gathering tonight. But it's for 8 areas in the life of our church and nation. And And those eight areas are signified by posters around our sanctuary that I'll refer to in a minute. But I'd like every one of you to take one of these prayer guides that's here tonight if you don't have one with you already. And to keep these in your Bible, it's a wonderful guide for how to pray for these various areas. Now, as those are being passed out, I'd just like to just walk you around the sanctuary visually, and if you would just follow me for just a moment. First of all, right here, that poster represents the group that prays for our church services. And you will find in one of the eight panels in your brochure where it will talk about right there, the church services prayer team. It's got the verse where for two or three come together in my name. There I am in there, midst of them. The church services prayer team. Over there, that first poster on your right, towards the front, that poster is the church family. And here we pray for many different things you'll find under church family. God's blessing on our family and marriages and families to be strong and strong relationships and that people get to know one another and that there'll be growth and spiritual growth in the church family. Our homes will be strong. Our single adults will be blessed. All of this. And then in the back corner on this side is potential and new believers. That's pretty self-explanatory. Potential and new believers. Praying for that class here Sunday mornings that Pastor Craig was talking about this morning, praying for Celebrate Recovery, praying for Alpha, praying for people who come Sunday mornings and Sunday nights and people who need Christ, new believers and potential believers. And then the next poster, which is right back here between these two doors, that's church ministries. That's actually volunteers praying for all the range of volunteers. Most of the ministry, pretty much all the ministry in the church is done by volunteers. And pray for the ministries of the church and all the volunteers. This back here is U.S. and World Missions. And so missions is a big part of what we are. We want to be a strong missions giving, missions praying, missions sending church. We want to pray for our U.S. missionaries in places like Teen Challenge and Chi Alpha to universities and chaplains and all kinds of ministries there, church planning, as well as all our foreign missions. That's there. Over here on the far back, there's a poster that has to do with city, state, and nations. God, we'll pray for Springfield, pray for Missouri, pray for the United States of America. Over here, church initiatives. And you'll find, again, one of the panels will talk about church initiatives. And this happens to be our outreaches into year outreach next year, our outreaches into Grant Beach, compelling ways to share Jesus with our community, people volunteering time and people being brought to Christ in our after-school programs. So this really speaks about a lot of outreach. You'll be praying into our year of outreach as it comes up. And then finally, this poster here, this station represents pastors and church staff. We appreciate your prayers for us. There is one prayer team that's dedicated to praying for the pastors. Every month, we as pastors fill out a sheet to submit to that group our specific prayer requests. We don't, of course, have those tonight. You can join that prayer team if you like, but that's for praying for pastors and staff. And so we appreciate your prayer for that. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'd like you to stand with me. We're going to, like we did a few weeks ago, we're going to pray for about 5 minutes at each one of the stations. And if you need to go, you are welcome to go. Thank you for being willing to sit through teaching on growing in prayer. May God give prayer life. But I hope most of you can stay. And it's so critically important we seek the face of God. We cannot do this alone. The breakthroughs God wants to bring in Springfield, in Central Assembly, in our city, our nation, they can only come in response to fervent, believing prayer. Do you agree with that? Do you agree with that? God just has said, my will is done in partnership with you praying my will. And so this is not optional stuff for us. And we're excited about this. There's going to be just in the background quiet worship music playing. And I'd like you to go, first of all, to find a station. We're going to do three stations. So we'll go to a station, just gather around it. No one person will be leading you in prayer. Take your prayer guide if you want to pray specific prayer requests. Otherwise, just pray in the Spirit or pray as the Lord leads you into that area of ministry. And then about 5 minutes into that or 6 minutes, I'll just say, if you'd like to change prayer stations, this is the time. You don't have to, but if you don't feel released by the Spirit of God, you stay at that prayer station. But I will indicate at 5-minute points, we'll do that three times. And then we'll join in collective prayer to close tonight. Amen. Lord, guide us here. Fill us with your Spirit tonight. Make us strong to pray. Make us strong to believe. Strong in faith. And move strongholds of the enemy tonight. And break through in powerful ways. We commit ourselves to the strength of the Spirit and to pray fervently with the will and strength that your Spirit gives us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Begin to make your way to one of the 8 stations. And just stand around that poster and just begin to pray.